This is the RaidersBlog.com podcast. We're coming to you on Wednesday at 12 o'clock California time. Before we talk about the Raiders' first preseason game against Dallas, there has been some breaking news that Jared Valdir has torn his triceps and he will be out for the season. Chris, this is a pretty huge injury. I mean, McKenzie, I think, was the one who said that they couldn't afford to have these big injuries. And, you know, with Menelik Watson being injured and Alex Barron and Khalif Barnes, you know, at best probably being average offensive linemen, the Raiders aren't particularly deep behind Valdir at that left tackle spot.
Yeah, I mean, Barron's going to be the starter probably now. That means Barnes is locked in at right tackle, which means he can't move into guard, which means now you get Brizell for sure at right guard, most likely, you know, something like that. So it really weakens the whole offensive line. And then you're looking behind. I mean, I think most people couldn't even tell you who the backup tackles are behind Barron and Barnes. I mean, no one, who knows? I mean, John Wetzel and Lamar Mady, but who knows those guys? No one. These guys aren't legitimate guys, and they're going to need to step up. But, you know, it's certainly a huge blow. You're talking about for pass blocking, it's going to be a big deal, but even more so probably for run blocking. You know, the power run blocking relies on the offensive line winning one-on-one matchups. And, you know, outside of Wisniewski, you couldn't say that any of the guys that the Raiders have could do that on a consistent basis besides Wisniewski and Valdir. Now with Valdir out, it really is just Wisniewski. And obviously at center, you know, you're not obviously not going to be the guy that's doing that a lot. So it's really a huge, huge injury for the Raiders. And it's unfortunate because, they couldn't afford him. McKenzie said it. I mean, and he wasn't lying. I mean, he built the team as best as he could. But, I mean, realistically, he didn't have a lot of depth. And most teams don't really have a good, reliable backup left tackle anyway. But certainly losing him for the season is going to be pretty significant.
Yeah, and you look at the other, you know, when you look at the division, I mean, you got Von Miller, Tom Pahaly, Justin Houston. I mean, there's some really good pass rushers in that division. And now, you know, arguably this makes the Raiders weaker at both tackles because the right tackle competition obviously isn't much of a competition anymore because they don't have the bodies to fill there. And the left tackle spot's obviously weaker. So it just adds insult to injury that the Raiders play in a division with so many great pass rushers.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are going to have to do something pretty special this year just to be, you know, in most games. I mean, now you're looking at a situation where, you know, it's going to be hard for the Raiders. I mean, they need great performances from a lot of guys. An improved defense is certainly going to help things, but how much that's going to matter if the offense really can't score, you know, we'll see. They just don't, that dynamic aspect of the offense, really, McFadden is that guy. He's the only really guy that you could say for sure is a dynamic player. And he wasn't dynamic last year in an ill-fit offense. And then now you go into this year with a depleted offensive line that really is going to be responsible for getting him to that second level and letting him make the plays that he can make. So it's an unfortunate situation. Losing Valdir, losing anybody on that offensive line right now would have been a big blow. And that's certainly a huge one, especially since, you know, Watson hasn't even practiced yet.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, Matt Flynn, I mean, if he's going in as the starter, you have to think he has more responsibility now, even more than usual. I mean, now he's going to have to, you know, really be on top of things with the pass protection because you have to think the Raiders are going to have to do a lot of different things schematically instead of kind of just leaving Valdir on an island. I mean, do you think this puts added pressure on him? I mean, obviously, from a pass rush standpoint in terms of he doesn't have a great blocker at left tackle, but in terms of what he needs to do in the pre-snap read, do you think this puts even more pressure on him?
Well, I mean, yeah, the Raiders asked their quarterbacks to do protections. That's part of the reason Tyler Wilson's running fourth string now is he's having trouble with the protection. So, you know, reading those pre-snap, getting the protections right is a big part of what Flynn's going to have to do. And obviously, they're going to need to be 100% assignment, you know, perfect because they're going to lose some physical battles probably. So, you know, make sure that they get that right every time. You can't have breakdowns like we saw the first preseason game where Flynn got blown up because it was a protection issue. So they need to get that squared away. And if they're perfect there, I mean, they can try to make up a little bit for the loss. But I think a lot of people have made a big deal about Flynn's arm. We saw that again today. All of a sudden, you know, one small tweet from somebody and people latch onto it and it spreads like wildfire, as if we didn't know Flynn's arm was already limited. But, you know, not having a good offensive line to protect him certainly keeps you from throwing deep, even if you have a deep arm. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter that Flynn's arm's a little weaker, because he's going to be wanting to get that ball out quickly anyway, because that line's probably not going to hold up too well. To be honest with you, it's still not as bad as the line I saw last year in San Diego. So, I mean, there is a glimmer of hope there for the Raiders to be able to patch things up here.
Yeah, and, you know, the tight ends, I think, will be just as important. I mean, even more important now also, because I think a lot of them are going to be asked, or whoever ends up, you know, making the team and playing, to, you know, be doing a lot of chipping, stuff like that. And I think they're, you know, they're blocking, you know, for a guy like Osberry, who, you know, it'll be interesting to see if maybe this impacts him in terms of where his standing is on the depth chart and making the team, because, you know, it looks like, you know, at tight end, they may even need a guy who can legitimately block. And if he, and if his blocking isn't improved that much, you know, maybe that hurts his chances.
Yeah, the last 2 days, too, you've noticed Jaron Mastrud getting more time with the first team. And Alan said the other day as well that he's a guy that he really likes as an inline blocker. And he's looked pretty solid as a receiver as well. And then, you know, obviously Richard Gordon being the first string guy, you certainly have to consider the fact that the Raiders are going to rely more heavily on their tight ends to block. So, yeah, that's going to hurt a guy like Michael Rivera. That's going to hurt a guy like David Osberry. And, you know, you're not going to keep five tight ends. You might keep four, but you're not keeping five. So somebody's going to be on their way out. You know, and unfortunately, it's unlikely that they cut either of the two rookies. And if they're going with two blockers, it might be Mastrud and Gordon. And then there might be, you know, Osberry that's on his way out. I think that would be a mistake, because I like what I've seen from him. But you know, it's a tough situation, because you have to do what's best for the team and you know, make the best of a bad situation. So Raiders will do that. But yeah, certainly tight end position gets interesting now because the battle, you know, the blocking becomes a point of emphasis.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it'll be really interesting. I think that's one of the probably the most interesting, you know, battle on the team, because when you look at a guy like Osberry, you see his upside. I mean, even last week in the preseason game, he had the one where he caught it and then he, you know, broke a few tackles and got down the field. I mean, you see his upside, his athletic upside. And it's, you know, if they're not going to be that great this year anyways, you know, it's where do you draw the line between, you know, holding on to a guy to develop him for another year and going with somebody who can help you more in the short term. And so I think, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic with that whole tight end situation.
Yeah, I think Osberry's saying that. I've looked at his blocking, and it's been inconsistent. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. Yeah, I think he had two really bad blocks in the preseason game, but I also saw maybe four or five other blocks that were quite good, and then he obviously had that good reception where he broke two tackles and got out of bounds. So, I think it is one of the most interesting positions on the team, and because there's a very interesting mix of young players and veterans and high upside guys. And, you know, it sounds to me, at least from parsing through a little bit of what Alan has said about Osberry, it seems like he's, you know, it's for him, it's a little maybe more about the mental aspect of the game. And, you know, that's not abnormal for any player. You know, that's not to say that something negative about Osberry, but obviously, you know, being perfect on the mental aspects is a requirement, and then you need a player to be able to do that, and that might be where he's struggling a little bit. So we'll see where the Raiders go with that position. It's certainly one to watch, and it gets even more intriguing for these last couple of weeks now, because how much more are they going to lean on those tight ends to help, you know, run block and things, and obviously that's one less receiver that you can send into a pattern, and you know, especially if you want to keep Reese on the field, that means it's two wide receivers on the field if you want Reese in the game. So a lot of interesting perspectives here. Puts a lot of pressure, and overall just makes the whole team worse. And it's weird, you know, for that to happen for a left tackle, but really weakens the line and weakens the whole team, the whole offense, and that's why it's such a huge blow.
No, absolutely. So let's move on. We'll talk about the Raiders' first preseason game. They beat Dallas 19-17 at the Coliseum. We're going to obviously get into the quarterbacks, which I think is the big talking point that everyone's, you know, discussing. But what were your general impressions from the game? Did you like what you saw from the Raiders? I mean, obviously they won, which is a good thing. Did you like how they played, you know, on both sides of the ball? And, you know, which, what were your general impressions?
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, we didn't get to see that much of any one particular player, so it's hard to put too much stock in what you saw. You know, I saw, one thing I really saw that I liked is you could tell that the Raiders really made it a point to fit the offense and call plays, fit the players that they had in the game. You saw that with Pryor. You know, he ran the read option a few times and, you know, roll out passes, and they didn't ask him to stay in the pocket and throw the ball that much. And that kind of hides his weaknesses and obviously plays upon his strengths. And that's what you want to do with any player that's got some limitations. And with Flynn, you know, they weren't having him launch deep passes. They were having him, you know, slip through the pocket, deliver accurate passes in short and intermediate. And obviously one drive wasn't quite enough to see, you know, what you hoped. But, I mean, he did enough to me to say that's pretty much what I've seen with him in practice. So, overall, I thought that was good. Defensively, I think you saw some improvement as far as coverage. Raiders got at least one sack where, you know, it was pretty much a coverage sack. Seymour got there after like 5 seconds. But you also saw a few times where Romo was holding the ball for like 7 seconds. There was no pass rush whatsoever, which is good and bad. I mean, didn't have anybody open, which means the coverage was good. So, I mean, you see the improved coverage, and the Raiders made an emphasis on that. But the Raiders are going to have to figure out a way to get pressure. They're going to have to be more creative. And I think, obviously, in the preseason, it's a little bit more vanilla in that regard. They're going to be more creative when the regular season opens up. So, hopefully, they'll be able to get there. You know, they might need that coverage to be really good, but at least they showed that they could do that that little bit in the preseason game. So, it'll be interesting to see how they end up creating pressure, but they're going to have to kind of manufacture it a little bit. And having a secondary that can cover is going to be vital for that. So those are kind of my general impressions of the game. And I don't know kind of what you thought of when you watched it.
Yeah, let's start with the defense. I kind of got the same thing as you. The things that really stood out to me is, one, I liked how they moved C.O. Moore around. I mean, in their nickel package, he was playing defensive end. Sometimes he had his hand in the dirt. Sometimes he was standing up. I think that's kind of what they're going to have to do with him. And use him in that kind of way, because they don't have a ton of depth at their defensive end spot. I thought, you know, again, the big standout was their lack of pressure, apart, you know, with the good coverage. And so, you know, Moore had the one coverage sack, but, you know, for the most part, the Raiders weren't getting a ton of pressure, and they weren't blitzing a lot, which obviously is pretty standard for a preseason game. But, you know, it's clear that the interior of the defensive line doesn't get a whole lot of push, and Andre Carter was okay. And, you know, they just didn't do a whole lot, you know, getting after the passer. And Dallas doesn't exactly have a world beating offensive line. So I wasn't surprised by that, but I think that's probably gonna be a reoccurring issue. And then I thought Hosilio Hansen was the one corner who really didn't have a good game, but it's kind of hard to tell without the all 22, but, you know, it looked like the Raiders secondary did a pretty good job, and they mixed some zone in. So it wasn't just all straight man, kind of like what we saw last year. And so I thought overall the defense played pretty well. I mean, it looks all miles better than what it was last season.
Yeah, and you're right. We saw zone and man, and it wasn't just last year played a lot of that off zone stuff, and they want to get more to the man. And obviously Hayden wasn't in there, so that's going to get, you know, hopefully that unit's going to get even stronger when he gets in there. So overall, I thought, you know, good first showing. You know, some reasons to be optimistic, some reasons to be concerned, and obviously, though, there's a huge blow. So, week two will be interesting to see a little bit how they adjust, you know, how they adjust to a different team. And, you know, really the third preseason game is the one that you really look to. But, I mean, the second one is important, and it's important for guys trying to make this roster. And as we mentioned, there's not much depth on this team, so there's a lot of positions, you know, defensive line, offensive line, a lot of positions up for grabs. Somebody's got to step up and take them. Otherwise, the Raiders are probably just going to cut those guys and go searching the waiver wire for better options.
No, absolutely. I think it was you had the. Did you tweet Vic Tafer this morning when he said Crawford was on the He was basically saying Crawford's fighting for a spot, and you said, with who? I mean, there's not really any really depth. And I think that's kind of accurate. I mean, you saw that in the game. I mean, there's him and there's a guy. Is his name Robinson, the other defensive end?
Ryan Robinson, yeah.
Right. I think, you know, I mean, those two kind of seem to me like they're pretty safe to make the team just because there's not a whole lot else there and they've performed somewhat well. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Here's what I think on that, at least as we stand right now. Obviously, you know, the preseason game's left to go. But, you know, Hunter and Houston will be the starters. I think that's fairly obvious at this point. And then behind them, you've got Ryan Robinson and Crawford. I mean, those are the next guys kind of up. And then you've also got Andre Carter, but he's more of a situational pass rusher guy. And then, you know, Crawford has also been getting some snaps inside at defensive tackle as a pass rusher. Well, that's because Vance Walker's out. And the Raiders don't really have a guy right now that they consider a three-tech that's healthy. So that's where Crawford comes in. So the fact that he's actually getting those snaps, you know, I think that gives him an edge because they can actually move him inside in a pinch. That gives them a little bit of an advantage there, and there's no one else at defensive tackle. The depth just isn't there. I think that's probably a worse sign for Christo Bielekidi than it is for Crawford, because Bielekidi is the guy that's currently lining up in that spot. In fact, that Crawford rotating in there isn't a good sign for him. But obviously, there's just not much depth there. So, you know, who knows? Like, somebody's got to step up in these next couple weeks and really say, hey, I want to make this team. It shouldn't be that hard. I mean, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
There's not that much talent to open up. So, you know, overall, it should be hard.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit, but...
Oh, sorry.
No, you're okay. Okay, so let's talk about the quarterbacks and the offense. Impression, you know, I thought Flynn was better than Pryor. Pryor's definitely more exciting, but that red zone pick he threw was just atrocious. I mean, he had a guy in the corner that was open, I think it was Kreiner, and he decided, obviously, to throw Leighton across his body to really, I mean, he didn't have anybody open it over there anyways. And you can't do those kind of things. I think that one play was a pretty nice indicator, or a good indicator of why the Raiders kind of prefer Flynn over him right now. Obviously, that'll change with a bad start, probably, a bad start to the season. But, I mean, you know, Pryor, I mean, you know, they did things, as you said, to hide his weaknesses. But, you know, you did see improvement from him. And, you know, so generally I was pretty happy with Pryor, but I thought Flynn was a little better. I thought he ran the offense a little better. What did you think about that, you know, those two?
Well, I thought Pryor was much better on his second drive. You know, he still has some footwork issues. He doesn't step into his throws. He doesn't set his feet every time he throws. He kind of gets a little happy feet going. And, you know, you're supposed to shuffle, but you need to plant before you throw and drive. And if he doesn't drive into throw, that's going to cause him problems in the short and intermediate stuff. You know, obviously he's got a great arm. He can get it there, but, you know, you're going to get accuracy issues and stuff that way. So, you know, I liked what I saw better on that second drive. But then, of course, you know, on that first drive, you had a timeout. You know, I think it was the first drive, but, I mean, you had a timeout that was taken because you didn't get to the line in time. And then you had a very similar play to the interception where he threw to Butler and it was incomplete. When he had tight end, the tight end Michael Rivera, I believe it was.
Yeah.
He was wide open in the flat, or he could have run it. And then on the interception, same kind of deal. Could have run it, could have thrown it to Kreiner in the back corner. And if you miss deep, it's same as a throwaway, and you take the field goal. I mean, that's the throw to make if you have to make a throw. And considering Pryor has legs, though, that's a situation where, hey, you've got all this room, take it in. I mean, you know, you've got the legs to do it. Use your skill. And so I think those decision-making issues are probably the most concerning with Pryor. And, yeah, that is why Flynn is decision-making. I think it's probably, you know, number one reason why Flynn is the starter and not Pryor is those decision-making issues. You know, I think Pryor's come a long way in other aspects, the mental part of the game, things like that. But I think that decision-making is huge. And I also think, obviously, they would like to clean up even further some of his footwork.
I think Flynn, you know, might not have the strongest arm, but much more polished in that area. And it shows in the short intermediate stuff. That's what we've seen this training camp, and to some extent that's kind of the same thing that we saw in the preseason game. So, you know, right now I think the Raiders' plan is, you know, play the safer quarterback, the one that makes more decisions as your starter. But then also, obviously, Pryor's got a weapon. He's got these legs that are useful. You saw that in the read option. So put him in there, let him run the read option. I mean, I know it seems gimmicky, I guess, but force defenses to stop it. The expectation is they will be able to stop it this year, but Pryor's such a great runner, and you put him back there with McFadden, it could help the Raiders' running game, and it could help the Raiders, have some dynamic elements to their offense, add some of that. Well, it can, you know, avoiding some of those disastrous mistakes that Pryor made. So, a lot to consider, but I really think that's where the plan is for the Raiders. The question is, you know, how much does it hurt to have Novell there? I think that really hurts everybody.
I think Flynn probably at this point is much better suited to handle that than Pryor would be.
From
a mental standpoint.
Yeah, well, as a pocket quarterback, you're absolutely right. On the flip side of that, you might want to have a guy that runs out of there quickly. Pryor has got running ability, but I actually think Flynn is probably more slippery in the pocket. Pryor kind of tends to dive out of there and try to get around the edge, where Flynn will kind of slip through seams and cracks and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think obviously any further stress on a quarterback, and Pryor's come away, let him keep developing, but use his feet. And I think that's pretty much the plan right now. And I think, to be honest with you, it's hard to doubt that as being the right plan for the Raiders right now. You could throw Boomer Bust Pryor into the fire, I suppose, but what you're going to end up getting is exactly that, you know, uneven performances where you get a little bit more of an even performance and maybe still benefit from Pryor by getting him in there on a limited basis. By putting him in there in certain packages as opposed to making him a starter. And I think that's really the wiser way to go about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, people are going to listen to this and think that we're hating on Pryor or whatever. And you know, I think that's a very reasonable and fair assessment of him. I mean, I agree with you. You know, I mean, I think I've been very impressed with him. I mean, you know, going into the training camp period and stuff, you know, you and I were both talking about how, you know, if he doesn't show anything, they need to change positions of him, you know, change his position. And now I don't feel that way anymore. You know, I think he's made such good strides as a quarterback. I don't know if he ever gets to the spot where he's a, you know, starting caliber number one, but I mean, I feel better about him eventually getting there than I did before. You know, I think he's worked pretty hard. He's got, you know, he's made sizable improvements to his mechanics. He's not there yet, but he's getting better. And obviously, you know, he has this athleticism that's great. You know, I feel much better about him now. I mean, I give him a lot of credit because he's really improved. But at the same time, I agree with you. I think, you know, Flynn right now is the safer way to go, and you work Pryor and gradually. And if the team starts off 1-5, then maybe you go with Pryor. But I think, you know, for the first part of the season, you go with Flynn, you know, try and be a little safer, you know, get a little more even keel performance instead of these ups and downs that, you know, can cost you games.
Yeah, you know, I compare him, and not from a pure stylistic standpoint, but I think a good comparison for Pryor would be a guy like Tavares Jackson. This is a guy, he did start, and he was decent in those starts, but he's really better suited in the role he is in now as a high-quality backup. He's a guy that can come in and win you a few games should you need to. He's got, obviously, he's got some athletic ability. He's got a good arm, and has worked tremendously hard, like has Pryor, to turn himself into a solid quarterback. So, I think that's kind of the where I think Pryor is headed, where you can use his ability, in some packages. And obviously you probably would want a franchise guy. But, you know, that leads us to a little bit just talking about, you know, the season. The Raiders with all the injuries and losing Bell here now. Realistically, how much are the Raiders going to be able to surprise them? And who are they going to be looking at drafting next year? I think at this point you have to say, just realistically, the Raiders are probably one of the worst teams in the league. I could see them winning six if healthy, but at this point they haven't been that. You know, especially at some key positions like defensive tackle, and now with Beldier, obviously. You know, they lost some other guys, and there's some, you know, some nagging stuff. So all that to say, I think that it's going to be tough for the Raiders this year. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You just have to accept that fact. Hope that you can see some positive improvements from certain players and find players for the future. And then, you know, it's too early to look towards the next draft, but there is obviously Clowney. Everybody knows Clowney is there.
And Bridgewater.
But then there's also the quarterbacks. And the Raiders, as much as Clowney might be the best graded quarterback, best graded player, sorry, to come out, you know, in a long, long time, he's not a quarterback. And the Raiders need a pass rush, but they also need a quarterback. If they're sitting up near the top of the draft at some point, boy, is it going to get interesting. I mean, how do you go about, you know, making that determination, especially, you know, you can't pass a franchise quarterback if he's there. Can you? Even, you know, for a guy like Clowney, can you do that? You know, that's certainly risky. So it's a really interesting, you know, thing for the Raiders. And I, to be honest with you, I think the Raiders, they sort of didn't, they made moves knowing full well that next year they could be drafting highly and what kind of talent was good in next year's draft. And, you know, they made that determination a long time ago, and, you know, they'll go into it next year and look at it and see where they're at. But, you know, they obviously don't want to be that high, but if they are, they know what kind of talent is there. And it's talent that right now is kind of a weakness on the roster. So the Raiders are clearly taking a long view of this. Reggie McKenzie is, unfortunately, you have to wonder, you know, if they go through another really tough year, if Allen is going to make it.
Yeah.
That's what gets interesting here is, considering all these different injuries and all these things that are going on, you know, what does Allen really have to do to save his job? Because this is, I mean, it's tough. I mean, the roster's not quite there yet. It's getting better, I think, but it's not there yet. Not everybody knows that, and then you're losing starters, and you haven't had anybody healthy. And I mean, what is a coach really supposed to do? I mean, you can squeeze blood from the stone, but only so much. So certainly gets interesting, and we'll have to see how that goes a little bit.
Yeah, I think this will be a good conversation, you know, maybe before the season starts, you know, maybe a guy or two emerges in these preseason games, I don't know.
Bryce Butler is a guy that, talking about emerging, Bryce Butler is a guy that, man, he's really come on strong. I mean, he looked really, really good in the preseason game, obviously, but he's also looked really good in practice. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, actually, when I first started kind of noticing him, and he's really come on lately, you know, even stronger since the preseason game. I saw him Sunday after the preseason game, and he looked really confident, was doing really well, soft hands, you know, good size, good speed, and he's kept that up this week as well. So really, you know, guys will step up. It's just a matter of where will they step up and how many will step up.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You and I had a pretty decent, or at least I did, had a pretty decent, like, outlook on the season, you know, before this Valdir injury, and now this injury happened, and it's just like, well, you know, I mean, I feel like they can't improve nearly as much as I thought they were able to, we were going to be able to, you know, unless Barron ends up, you know, just shocking everybody, which I don't really see happening. And, you know, I went from thinking maybe this was a 6-win team to maybe probably down around 3-4 wins again. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Valdir's injury certainly, it certainly puts, you know, they had 6-win upside, I called it. I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of where they were at. But now I'd say that, you know, considering the defensive line hasn't been healthy, and now Valdir's out, you know, and in a lot of ways, a lot of guys haven't really stepped up. I mean, guys that you were hoping, hey, this is year two of their development. These are the guys that really should take that next step. You know, Tony Bergstrom, you know, proper to be the kid you talked about and stuff like that. Those are guys that you hope to step up, and they need to step up. And we really, really haven't seen that yet. And so now you're looking at, hey, let's, you know, you have to start tempering the positivity a little bit and saying, you know, I'm not so sure this is a 6-win team. It has 6-win upside. It's probably, you know, I think back down where a lot of people expected it from the beginning, maybe closer to 4 wins. So I personally don't ever predict below 4 wins just because I think, you know, below 4 wins and above 12 wins are outliers, in my opinion. Maybe it's starting to shift a little bit to 3 and 13. I mean, there's starting to be a little more separation in the parity of the NFL, but generally speaking, I don't usually predict below that. I just think that it takes too many bad things to come together, and of course, it's starting to come together that way for the Raiders, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, they've gotten off to a rocky start. Let's talk about, you know, another guy who's gotten off to a rocky start, Tyler Wilson. And this has surprised you, and I know it's surprised me. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I didn't love Wilson before the draft, especially as a first-round guy. I thought I wouldn't touch him, you know, with a 10-foot pole. But in the fourth round, I thought he was pretty good value. And, I mean, you can see the arm talents there. And mentally, he just has not been able to pick it up. And, you know, Matt McGloin, who he actually looked okay in the preseason game, but, you know, he was not a great quarterback in college by any stretch, I didn't think. And he's really outplayed him. And I think that's been pretty shocking to everybody. I mean, I imagine it has to be shocking to the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know if they're shocked so much. I think they kind of knew what they were getting into a little bit. Obviously, I think they obviously were hopeful that he could catch on quickly once they kind of, you know, had him every day and were teaching him every day. But, you know, I was a little shocked, but there's always those things that you don't know. And that's one of those things. There's things we don't know going into the pre-draft process. I liked Wilson's talent. I liked what I saw from him. But, you know, the things we don't know about quarterbacks and the offenses they play in, I mean, he wasn't, from the sounds of it, wasn't really asked to do any type of protection calls in college, which means he's really behind from a mental standpoint in knowing how to even call a protection and then how to make sure that he's protecting himself. And that could explain kind of why he was taking so many shots at Arkansas. You know, a lot of people blame the offensive line, but if he sees something, and he could change protection to make sure he didn't take that shot, and that would be a benefit to him. And, you know, we don't know if he was actually doing that in college. So I think that's what's really hurting him. I'm a little shocked, though, that the Raiders would give additional reps to a guy like Matt McGloin. Not that Matt McGloin hasn't, I think he's been fine. I think he was pretty impressive in the preseason games as far as making good decisions. And I think that's what I like about him. Smart and making good decisions. But considering Wilson's physical upside, I'm surprised they wouldn't try to get him the reps, because he's not going to learn, you know. I mean, I guess you could say that mental reps, there's some truth in mental reps. Me, you know, I'm not so sure in football how important a mental rep really is and how much you can really get out of a mental rep. I would be trying to get Wilson as many reps as possible for one really key reason. Now you got Flynn behind a shaky offensive line and front fire, and you might have a high pick next year. You need to know if you need to draft a franchise quarterback next year, because you need to know what you have. All these guys need to pretty much get a shot to play. I think Pryor will get a good chance to play regardless of whether he starts. But Wilson, I think at some point, you might need to see what you have in him late in the year if the season isn't going well. And I think that's my concern with him, is that he's not, you know, I question the handling, but obviously the Raiders feel like mental reps, you know, work and are better for him. But I'd certainly be trying to get him more reps. But it's a tough deal, because you're also trying to get Flynn and Pryor up to speed on the offense, and you want to give them as many reps as possible. You know, I think if there's one criticism of Allen, I think that his training camp practice has been a little slower than I've seen around the league. And that's, you know, probably that wasted time is time where you can be getting snaps for the young quarterbacks, you know, in team drills and things like that. So, you know, I think that's where, you know, maybe there was a criticism, that's where it would lie for me. But overall, I think Wilson, you know, they're going to have to figure out how to get him, you know, get him on board. And, you know, ultimately, if they don't think he's coming along or progressing and they can't teach him, ultimately, you know, that's going to lead to them going for a quarterback, because you know, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you don't have one. And I know Reggie's aware of that. He knows he needs one. If there's one that he can get next year, you know, he's going to do it.
So you think they would keep Wilson as the third guy and try and get McGoin on the practice squad? I mean, I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, as bad as he's been, I can't imagine they just cut him outright or try, you know, try and sneak through waivers or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I absolutely agree that's going to happen because here's why. Wilson, his physical talent, obviously, he has that physical talent. Fourth round draft, if you cut that guy, A, you're admitting a huge mistake very early in the process. B, you're exposing that guy to waivers. Somebody's going to pick him up, and there's no way you're going to be able to keep that guy in any form or fashion. I mean, it's not like you can stash a fourth rounder typically on the practice squad, very unlikely. However, Matt McGloin is a guy, you know, as far as raw talent, it's not quite there. You know, he's closer to Flynn than anything. And if you want to keep him around and continue to develop him, then you put him on the practice squad. Now, I mean, you've got him exposing the waivers, but think about it. Another team has to sign that guy to their active roster.
Right.
How many teams are going to do sign a quarterback, you know, like Matt McGloin with limited physical talent as their second or third string quarterback? And most teams don't even have a third string these days. You know, that's a rarity now. So, you know, when you consider that part, you know, he's going to be, I think, relatively easy to get through to the practice. But I could be wrong, but that's my way I feel about it. And I think they will end up, you know, putting him through to the practice squad and keeping Wilson as a developmental talent. But that said, you know, we've got 3 weeks here. Wilson needs to climb the depth chart a little bit. You know, he needs to at least perform as well as McGloin. Otherwise, you know, the Raiders are going to have a tough, it's going to look a little funny when they end up cutting McGloin and keeping Wilson when McGloin was spent all the training camp as the third string guy.
Right. Remember, it was old regime, obviously. Remember Quentin Moses when the Raiders got him in the third round and then cut him? That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a really rare thing. And why that? I mean, Moses never really turned into much, but why that happened? I mean,
it's really inexcusable. I mean, to be throwing a third rounder at a guy that you just end up cutting is really inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, some people believe that it may have been a mistake. You're talking it was a mistake or despite throwing Kiffin or something. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. You know, one last thing we can talk about before we get out of here. What did you think of the play calling? You already talked about it a little bit earlier when you talked about how they did a good job of fitting the offense to Pryor and Wilson. I thought they did a good job, or Olsen did a good job, of getting all the tight ends in. They used a lot of two tight end sets. They used a lot of bunch sets. You know, you saw a lot of motion in the offense. It's obviously a little more vanilla than what you're going to see during the regular season. But I feel pretty confident, you know, in Olsen where I didn't in Knapp last year, where he's fitting the offense around the personnel that they have. And he, you know, understands that they don't have a ton of talent, the skill positions in terms of guys who can kind of just get open. And they're going to need to, you know, find a way to manufacture yardage and manufacture big plays. And so, you know, they used a lot of pre-snap motion to try and throw the defense off a little bit. You know, used a lot of different sets. I was generally impressed with how Olsen kind of called that game, especially in the first half when they had the two, you know, when they had Pryor and Flynn in the game.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. I thought the double tight end set was interesting because that's not a set that the NFL uses a lot these days. Or that's used around the NFL a lot these days. You know, a lot of people, you know, I saw at least somebody mention that it's kind of an old school thing, and that it was interesting to see the Raiders using so many two tight end sets. But I do think he did, as far as what plays were called and the way that they were designed, I thought that did fit the offense and fit the players that were in the game. Two tight end sets were interesting. I'll say this, though, you know, without divulging any kind of secrets or anything to the Raiders, but I didn't see those two tight end sets so much. I haven't seen them in much practice. They've had a lot more 11 personnel, which is, you know, sort of the NFL standard now. You see a lot more 11 than you used to. I see a lot of that practice in training camp, so I wouldn't necessarily expect the formations to remain the same, but I definitely think that they play calling was good. I mean, they got Pryor using his legs, you know, quick strikes to Flynn. I mean, everything, you know, it wasn't a full game plan, so it wasn't a full game, so you never know how really play calls are going to develop in key situations, but I thought they did good. You know, I thought Olsen did good at mixing things up, you know, to the offense. It wasn't obviously a full game plan or full offensive play, but, you know, I thought the defensive play calling was really vanilla, and that's going to have to get more exotic, and I think Allen hinted towards that, you know, in his press conference on Sunday. So, you know, we're gonna see how the Raiders do. It's gonna, you know, I'm not going to lie to Raider Nation, I think it's going to be pretty rocky, but hopefully, you know, hopefully there's some positive moments. And you know, I think the other thing is last year wasn't any fun because the Raiders weren't in very many games. You know, losing is heartbreaking, obviously, for fans. But, you know, it does suck to get blown out. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, loss is tough no matter what. But getting blown out is worse than losing a close one. Maybe not on your heart, but it sucks more. I mean, just because you know your team's really, really terrible. As opposed to, hey, well, they're close. And you can look on the bright side there. But, you know, it's going to be rocky. No doubt about that.
No, I absolutely agree. And for those listening, 11 personnel is one receiver, one tight end, one running back, one tight end, three receivers. Yeah, you know, just I was looking at Twitter real fast. It says Tom Brady injured his knee, and so he went off the field. They haven't evaluated him fully yet, but I guess that's something to keep an eye on. Any other thoughts before we get on out of here?
No, I think the other thing, you know, that said about all the, you know, it's been a little bit of a downer with Bell here and whatever, but I'll leave you with this. I mean, the importance of a healthy McFadden cannot be understated on this team. It allows you to use play action. You know, he allows you to use play action if he's effective. Now, whether Veldheer, how much Veldheer impacts that, I don't know, but if you do end up getting a productive McFadden, you know, and that's pass and run game, get a productive McFadden. And, you know, the upside is there. I mean, McFadden himself is a pretty valuable player. And I think that's where, you know, if you're going to pin your hopes on, if you're one of these fans that are pinning your hope on a way better than expected year, you're also pinning your hopes on Darren McFadden's health, which is, you know, it's been a little bit rocky and he hasn't been able to really stay healthy for 16 games. But surely if he can do that and be effective, productive like he was under Hugh Jackson, yeah, you know, that's where the positivity can come back and say, well, he changes the game for the Raiders. And with a solid defense, you know, or a more solid defense than was last year, you know, things could start to snowball in the good direction as opposed to the bad one. And that's ultimately what the Raiders are hoping for. But it's certainly been rocky at the training camp just because of all the injuries that the Raiders really couldn't afford, especially to starters. And it's one thing if these backup guys get hurt, but starters being hurt, it's just brutal.
Yeah, and you know, early in the game, in the preseason game, you know, I think the first play was a run, second play they threw a swing to McFadden. You know, it was pretty clear early that they want to get him the ball early and often. And you know, in the NFL, you know, with a lot of passing, you know, that's when you start to get some variance sometimes when you don't have a lot of passing talent. And I think the one thing Oakland's running game was kind of, or their offense was kind of banking on was the fact that, you know, at least Veldheer's a beast and they can maybe get some push behind him consistently every game, you know, in the running game. And now he's not there. And I really think that's a devastating loss for the offense. I mean, now you talked about how they hadn't been running a lot of two tight end sets, so maybe now they're more inclined to use some of those in the running game because they don't feel like they can get an adequate push with Barron at left tackle and, you know, Barnes at right tackle. I mean, it just has such a snowball effect, and, you know, it takes, you know, what was supposed to be the best part of the offense was that power running game, that downhill running game, and they just don't have it. You know, I mean, they may still have a good running game, but it's not the same without Veldheer.
Yeah, I mean, Barron is talented. He's always had good, you know, pretty good feet, so he's always been a decent pass protector, even when he was kind of, you know, washed out of the league. You know, it's his tenacity that was always questioned, and that's, I think, where you're looking at, well, maybe he'll be okay protecting Flynn, but really be able to help McFadden. So you're absolutely right about, you know, is he going to have enough push to get McFadden out there? And how much do you have to use tight end, fullbacks, and all that stuff just to try to spring McFadden open? Because obviously teams are going to load the box, and good defenses are going to be able to stop that. So lots to consider for the Raiders. And you have to wonder, the Raiders have kind of already set their plan in motion, so they can't really alter it too much. As far as what they can game plan around their weaknesses, as you do on any week to week basis when you have injuries. But they're going to have to figure out what they're going to be able to do and figure out how to keep McFadden involved. And the way that I looked at it, I just wrote a piece yesterday about him. I mean, he needs to be 30% of the touchdowns and 30% of the yards. If McFadden is not getting those percentages, the chances are, he's not being involved enough. Or he's not productive enough, and then you're in trouble that way like he was last year. So a lot to consider for the Raiders, and I'm sure they have targets and goals individually in Oz offense and things like that that are all slanted and designed to accomplish what they want to accomplish, obviously. But, tough blow with Bellevue. I feel bad for the guy. He's one of the genuinely good guys, too, on the team. Really put in the effort this offseason to bulk up and become that. He was in a contract year, become an elite tackle and get his payday. And, this is going to impact his ability to do that now. Unless he accepts a short-term deal, he's going to have to, get less money. And it's kind of just sucks for him overall, all the way around. It sucks for the Raiders because it hurts the Raiders all the way, their whole offense. But it also sucks for the Bellevue and feel bad for the guy.
Nope, absolutely. All right, well, Raiders play New Orleans on Friday, and we will be back next week to talk about it all. Depressing, kind of depressing podcast. I mean, it's just a depressing kind of situation right now with Valdir. I mean, it's just a huge chunk of the team's potential upside is just gone now, and it feels a lot like last year, kind of, going into the year. So, 3 more preseason games, maybe somebody will emerge, maybe Barron will end up being really good. I don't know. We'll see.
If Watson can get back onto the field, and you get Vance Walker and Pat Sims back from injury, and you get some of these other guys back healthy, and then you get some young guys producing in the preseason games, and that positivity could come back. You never know. That's what I mean. This is NFL is a funny game. Just how those things work. So, but right now, Raiders. It was a huge blow, so you can't help but be a little bit passive on the team, and obviously a little negative feelings about the possibility of the Raiders making any kind of positive steps forward. But I mean, they won 4 last year, and I said it for a while that I thought that 6 was the upside, and they kind of needed to hit that upside for Dennis Allen's sake, and now I'm not so sure.
Yep, no, I agree. Well, I will talk to you next week. And enjoy the game Friday.
Yep. Everybody enjoy the game. Don't drink too much.
Yeah, I'm not sure they can really help it at this point. Follow each of us on Twitter. I'm at T Armisino, ArmoSino. He's Chris Hansen with an E, NFL. And check out Chris's work at Bleacher Report and check us out on RaidersBlog.com. We'll talk to you guys next week.